Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service. Today we welcome our good friend, Reverend Mark, to lead us to this service, and we look forward to his message for us. Jean is our Bible reader today, and the reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and may be found on page 68 of the Old Testament in the Pew Bibles. Just a reminder that later today, at 4 o'clock until 5:30, we are holding a tea service. And with songs from our past, so it should be really good. Please come along if you are able, and all are very welcome. If you are new to Emmanuel, please make yourself known after the service, so that we may welcome you properly. I shall now light our Christ candle whilst we have a few moments for reflection.
Our call to worship. God of all people, as we gather this morning, we welcome you amongst us. We celebrate the gift of life you have lavished upon each one of us. We ask that you would open our ears, we may hear your voice. Open your mind, our minds, that we may receive your wisdom. Open our spirits, that we might know your guidance. And open our hearts, that we may receive your love. Amen. Good to be with you again. Such a warm day. Thank you for the piece in the newsletter that says, friend of ours, very kind of you, needs no introduction. We were once at a praise session in Hastings many, many years ago, and Rob Frost was speaking, and bloke went on and said, and here's someone who needs no introduction. Rob Frost, and then went on for about 5 minutes to list everything Rob had been and done and everywhere. And when Rob came on, he said, if that was no introduction, I'd hate to think what a real one was. It is good to be with you this morning, and I was saying that back when my wife and I got married some years ago, it was the hottest day in Little Common for about 2 years. And the minister at the beginning, our friend Gordon, said, I know you've all been praying for a glorious day for Mark and Jill's wedding. It's just a shame there's no thermostat on prayer, isn't it, really? But we're going to be warmed from within. Hearts are not going to be strangely warmed, but warmed by the presence of one another and the presence of God. And we begin by singing hymn 377. And rejoice and sing, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us pray. Creator God, you are love. You are love in your very being, a being that is before time, beyond time. And as the extent of our galaxy, of our universe, is revealed to us through new discoveries, new explorations, new telescopes, we realize that we have no idea of before and beyond. And if this is the vastness of your creation, it is little wonder we can understand the vastness that is God, and especially the vastness of God's love to each and all his people. God is the ground of our reality. It is what we stand firm in and find our own reality, our own self. Everything belongs to God. God's creation, God's people. And we are given to care for them in the same way as God does. All things created are to show and to express your love. For your whole being and existence is love. You are life on and beyond our own earth. In that you are the source of our meaning. As we travel through life, meet its joys and its sorrows, its triumphs and travails. In darkness and death you are a light. In doubt and despair you are a friend. In all our being you are our life. You are the truth. In words, beyond words. For you are the fountain of hope. Justice and peace are your promise. Faith and love are your way. Your being is the truth in which we dwell. And yet, Lord, sometimes we have not shown your love. Sometimes we have not shared that gift of life. And sometimes we have turned from the truth. We've not loved our neighbours as ourselves. Often we have not loved ourselves as ourselves. We have gone wrong and followed our own errant ways. But you do not condemn us and banish us, for you are love. You forgive us. You forgive us, and we ask for forgiveness, not out of fear, not out of being struck by lightning rods, not out of banishment, but we confess because we love you. And we want nothing to come between that love we share, that life you offer, and that truth you show. So we come to you now in confession, in love, out of love, and for love. And you have promised to us forgiveness for all who turn to you. You will set us free and strengthen us to do your will. As we turn to you and speak from our hearts, your words to us are the words of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven. So restored within ourselves, part of this family of Christ together, we come before God in the prayer Jesus gave us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I must say that I'm often nervous when there is an intro. It's not so bad with you, because I know there always is one. In a church in Doncaster, Thorn, I went, and it was one of these Methodist churches where the organist was up and behind. That meant he could shoot you in the back with a... And the choir was behind again, and there were few in the choir, and I went in, did the call to worship, and then it should have been the anthem, because it came that way with us. I did the call to worship, and completely forgot about the introit after 4 minutes earlier, and went straight into the first hymn. The organist got his own back, because when I finished the confession and started the Lord's Prayer, he started the next hymn straight over me. So, no such problems here. No truces needed. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing, "Have faith in God, my heart. Trust and be unafraid." Words of Scripture. Thank you.
The reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. And you can find it on page 68 of the Old Testament. Then God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honour your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance. This is the word of the Lord.
If you wish to follow the choir anthem, it's number 321 in Rejoice and Sing. Your words to me are life and health. Those words are the same words I use to my gym trainer. Your words to me are life and health, but it's usually a lot more painful. Thank you very much. The Ten Commandments, the thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That with the Pentateuch form the laws of the land of Israel. The laws. Days gone by, they're up on the walls of churches. One side was the Lord's Prayer. The other side was the Ten Commandments, even though most of the congregation couldn't read. They were there. They were there for people like me at the front to stand and point and say, thou shalt not. Because you must have been. Because you're sinners. So you must have been. So you shalt not in from now on. And who's going to tell you shalt not? The church. Shalt not. Because we need laws. We need those laws. The Pentateuch was given that people, when they moved into the land of Israel, when they were slaves, they didn't need laws. They had no choice. They had no choice. When they were wandering the desert, they didn't really need to have any laws there because, well, they got lost. So they didn't know what they were doing sometimes. But when you come to settle, when you come to live together, when you come to be in one place, you need to get on. You need to get on with one another. You need to get on with others who are there, and you need to get on with God. And so God gave a series of laws by which he fulfilled them. That would happen. Laws necessary for a just democratic society. It doesn't help, though, when you have a government that either passes unjust laws or ignores its own laws or ignores international law. But, you know, that's democracy, isn't it? In England, we have many, many laws. Some of them are written over as years go by. Some of them still remain in the statute book because we've forgotten about them. Some of them are quite quirky. In London, there are specific laws. It is illegal to carry a plank along a pavement. Offence under 54 of the Metropolitan Police Act of 1839. So the film, The Plank, with Tommy Cooper, must have been filmed outside London because they would have been arrested. It is also under Section 54, illegal to fly kites, play annoying games. I think that can be... I was at Edgbaston last week. That could have been cricket. And sliding on ice or snow in the street. In London, and this, I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, causes a problem in Mary Poppins, it is illegal to fire a cannon within 300 yards of a dwelling place. So if any of you got a cannon in your backyard, get rid of it, because it still counts even here. You can't fire it within 300 yards. A taxi driver can ask, and at one stage must have asked, a person in their taxi if they suffered from plague or smallpox. Part of the Public Health Act, 1984, still has that. If you use your... You know, got the new Burger King they're building that's taken longer than the Fourth Road Bridge? You know, it should look like one of these hotels in Dubai by the time they finished it. If you go into the drive-in and you pay using your mobile phone, if you've got your engine running, which they tell you to, and you haven't put your handbrake on, which they tell you not to, you're committing an offence because you're using your phone handheld. So if there's a copper there, you'll get nicked every time. Someone should have thought of that, shouldn't they, really? There's a law that prohibits you to gamble in public libraries. Apparently you can gamble anywhere else, or more or less, but you can't gamble in a public library. In Scotland, it is illegal for a boy under 10 to see a naked mannequin in a shop window. Oh dear. You are not allowed to wear a full suit of armour in the House of Commons. That's one of Boris's ruses for getting back in stuff, didn't it, really? It is illegal to be drunk in a pub. It's illegal to be drunk in a pub. You can be fined for that, as can the landlord. Under the UK's tax avoidance system, I have checked this twice, right? And I have to read it because I don't understand it. Under the UK's Tax Avoidance Schemes Regulation 2006, it is illegal not to tell the taxman anything you don't want him to know, though you don't have to tell him anything you don't mind him knowing. All questions? It is illegal to jump a queue at a tube station. If there is a sign saying queue from here and you jump the queue, you can be arrested. I mean, you won't survive to be arrested, let's be honest. You know, but you'll be arrested. Under the well-known Salmon Act of 1986, It is illegal to handle salmon under suspicious circumstances. I don't know, hopefully when they discount it at Tesco's, that's not a suspicious circumstance, to be honest. But and it is illegal, hold yourselves for a surprise. It is illegal under the terms of the Prohibition and Inspection Act of 1998 to cause a nuclear explosion. So if you were thinking of it, a small one in the backyard, no, it's illegal. Don't do that. All right? Those are just some of our laws. sorry. It's still illegal, apparently, to import potatoes from Poland to the UK. So if you've got any Polish potatoes at home, I'd hide them underneath and we won't tell. So some of these laws are bygone eras. Oh, the one about shooting Welshmen in Chester with a bow and arrow, with a crossbow, is never right, okay? Never. It wasn't even law, so you can't use it. Dave Gray's luckily happy. Some of our laws are based in ancient past where things have gone on and gone past. Other of them are completely quirky because they relate to a specific situation. Or they relate to a situation where one person thought, hello, I want to make sure this doesn't happen. But those are our laws. But God's laws, what about God's laws? What about the thou shalt nots? The thou shalt nots. For 2,000 years, the thou shalt not has been a reprimand. It's been a loud voice shouting at people, thou shalt not. I don't think it's actually like that at all. I don't think it's God shouting at us. I think it's God sitting down with us and explaining. If you read the Pentateuch, if you go through, you can miss numbers out. Okay? Even the accountants among you, you can miss numbers out. So not a lot happens, really, But in the laws, if you read them, they're not what people think they are. The law of Moses is not as repressive, not as regressive, as not as oppressive as, to be honest, brothers and sisters, the church writ large like to use it. If you murder someone, you aren't necessarily stoned to death. For various things in murder, there were cities of refuge where you went for a number of years and then you could come back. There was restoration. There was reparation. There was justice within. But because over the years it didn't suit those with power, it was used as the thou shalt not, and that's the beginning and end of it. But it's not, is it? Not really. What God's trying to say to us is not thou shalt not because I'm shouting at you, but thou shalt not because you won't want to. You won't want to. If you settle down and you follow the laws I give you, you act in that way, which is the way of God, which is the way of Christ. The way of making sure the poor, the weak, the widowed, the alien, the sojourner, that those people were cared for. The way of it, talking all the way through about how those most vulnerable in society were protected, were fed, were watered, were sheltered, were respected, were treated as their own, the poorest of the poor. That is the way of Christ. That's in the Pentateuch. And what God's saying is, if you sit down together and you act in this way, you won't want to do any of that. You won't want to steal from your neighbour because they're your neighbour. You love your neighbour as yourself. You don't want to steal from your best friend, from someone who loves you and you love, from someone who helps you and who you help. Thou shalt not, because you won't want to. You won't want to steal from them. You won't want to covet their ox or ass. Brothers and sisters, I have to admit, I have coveted once, badly, when I was in the prison service. I put the word service on the end there. When I was in the prison service, I went out to get into my Fiat, and next to him was parked a brownie-type Jag. I coveted that. Oh, I so coveted that. And when the criminal psychologist came out to get in it, and she reversed out, and I followed her out the drive as far as the driver, then she disappeared off into the sunset. I coveted it even more, brothers and sisters. That was my big covet. But what he's saying to us is, you won't want to do that. You won't want to do that because you love them. They love you. You won't want to do it. You won't want to covet something. You won't want to commit adultery with the one they love because you love them and they love you. You won't want to do those things. You won't want to steal because you won't need to, because do you know what? We'll all look after one another. Like in their Acts, when we read, they all provided for one another. They all shared together. You won't need to steal because you won't want, because you will have enough sufficient because of what we've said in the Pentateuch of caring and looking after one another. You won't want to steal. You won't use the Lord's name in vain, because living together, worshipping together under the rule of the Lord, you will find that the Lord is a loving God. Because your loving God is revealed in the people around you. Brothers and sisters, I've said before here and elsewhere, it's not about, one of the ones I read was, it's not about how much scripture you quote for being a good Christian, it's about how much scripture you live. That's what it is. If people see us acting in the way that the Pentateuch tells us of loving and caring and supporting for not just us, but those around us, then they will see the Lord. In our lives, when people say, have you seen the Lord? Have you seen Jesus? You had visions? No. No, I haven't. But I've experienced God in Jesus Christ in my fellow Christians. Not just in moments of joy when they celebrate with me, but we all have in moments of trial, tribulation, sorrow and grief, when they have provided fellowship, support, love and care, perhaps beyond what we expected. When I lost my sister died back in 2006 in the church I was in. I'd always been the one, as Jeff will know and Rob will know, when you do funerals, you're the one providing comfort and succor to the grieved. I experienced such overwhelming love and support. I almost felt it was too much. And when my dad died, I'd just come to Swindon in the August. My dad died in November. The response from people in the partnership who'd only just met me, as well as my own church, was overwhelming. And in that, and you know for yourselves, in that, we see Christ, we see God. Because we do those things. And then we shout not. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do those other things. Because these are people we love. And who love us. So it's not the thou shalt nots. That's about retaining power, grabbing power and overruling and suppressing people. No, God's about, well, you won't want to, will you? Why would you want to do that? They're loving you. They're caring for you. They're looking after you. And the people already in the land, you've got to love them as well. So, when we look at the Ten Commandments, Big Charlton with his, he's got a really, I just can't get over how they get the colours in that robe that he wears, you know, that blanket he chucks over. Really good Axminster, I think, in there. In Charlton with his big stones and all that, we tend to get this very, I'm sorry to say, a masculinity thing about it all. God's not about femininity or masculinity in any of this. He's about justice, peace and love. And the shalt nots are not to bully people around with. The shalt nots aren't to wave a stick at others or ourselves with. The shalt nots are because you won't want to, because you don't need to. It's about our relationship with God and one another. If you love God, you won't do those things because you don't want to hurt God. If you love God and love your neighbour also, you won't want to cause your neighbour, your fellow brother or sister, hurt. If we follow God in that way, we will know it is the right way because it brings the best out in all of us and each and every one of us. And if we follow God, we shall not. Because the way our lives are lived are with God in our hearts. We live it with our souls being nourished by the presence of God and God's people. Our minds are healthy and informed, and we find strength in and with one another. Because we don't need to, we won't want to. We will be content. We will sit under our own fig tree, and we will beat our swords into plowshares. You see how it echoes through Scripture. It's not a command, it's an assurance. You won't need to, you won't want to. It's an assurance to us, to our neighbour. In one of the Ten Commandments, it says, I am a jealous God. I am punishing from one generation to the next to the next. You see, when you move later on, you find that the laws aren't literally carved in stone. They aren't carved into the blocks and never changed. Because when we get to Ezekiel, God reveals to his people that the only person that's punished for their sin is the person who commits the sin. Because when the wicked man turns, they are forgiven. But if the good man, and it's quoting the words, good person, changes from good to evil, they will be punished. And it says specifically, not the generations after. Because again, as our life and relationship with God changes, as the Jews did, God revealed more of himself to them that they could understand. Like us moving from the milk to the meat, as Paul talks about. Because God's law for us, God's life for us, God's way for us, is developing with us and with our relationship with God. So sometimes even casting back to the stones and saying it's carved in stone, as we use the phrase, therefore it can't be changed. God does change it. Because God realizes we change. So brothers and sisters, they're not needed on the wall anymore. Because like Jeremiah says, those laws are in our hearts. We don't need them written on stone, because what was our stone hearts have turned to flesh. And those laws live within us. And it's how we live our lives with others. It's very difficult being a Christian. To be honest, probably very difficult being a member of any faith this present time. We see numbers going down, we see all those things. And sometimes it is because people quote more scripture than live it. And for those of us who seek to live the way of Christ, we rail and we weep at those others who take different stances, shall we say, about other faiths, other cultures, other people, where their words are filled more with their own hate than with God's love. And brothers and sisters, we do have 2,000 years of church behaviour to live down sometimes. And we can only do that by overcoming what was done then by love. If you read the paper this morning, in the papers, the discovery and the excavations at one of those homes in Ireland where the disgraced women who got pregnant were sent with their children. They reckon there are 769 bodies of, well, not bodies anymore, of children and babies that from 1921 to 1969, when they died, were thrown into a septic tank. We have to overcome that. Misguided and ignorant, woeful and judgmental. The thing I really struggle with in that one is, we know where the women were. They were in the homes. We now know where a lot of the babies were, in the septic tank. Where were the men? Because unless those are 769 virgin births, forgive me, but there must have been men involved. So you see, sometimes, brothers and sisters, the love we seek to share out has to push back some darkness. Bruce Cockburn, Canadian Christian songwriter, many years ago wrote a song where he said, you've got to kick the darkness till it bleeds daylight. And that's what we must seek to do. In the way of taking those thou shalts and the law into our hearts and live that way of love, compassion, justice, peace, and grace and forgiveness, we push back and we show the light. Because we will not, we shall not, because we don't need to, we don't want to do anything else but love one another. Amen. So we're going to sing 3, 4, 5. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I must admit to Welsh ancestry on both sides of my family, but please don't tell any Welshmen present. I was taught by two Welsh teachers in my junior school, and Mr. Morris was one, a young man who just joined us, and told us that he lived in Cardiff. And I said to him, "Oh, my auntie and uncle live in Cardiff. My uncle Will, my auntie Nell." "Oh," he says, "whereabouts?" And I was about 10. I said, "Well, they live in a terraced house, and there's a shop on the corner and a chapel at the other end." He said, "Very helpful." So let us pray. God of love, we pray for the family of your church. We grant that we and all your people may follow the spirit of the law and not live by the law we dictate, so we may be built up in our faith, that we may show in our lives the love that we see and receive from Jesus Christ. Give courage to those who find it hard to follow you because of the travails and the batterings of life. To those who find it hard, difficult to have faith because of personal hardship or tragedy. To those who are made to suffer for their faith. We pray for those who are denied freedom in their religious beliefs. For those who struggle against injustice, for the men and women who live in violent and oppressive societies, for those for whom hunger is a daily reality, and for those who feel powerless to change the ways of nature or the ways of nations. Teach us to be mindful of people's relentless struggle to survive. Lord, while any death is tragic and a source of grief and loss, I struggle with the world where the death of 5 billionaires and relatives and moneyed people who volunteer for what one might say was a foolhardy bit of excitement occupy millions of pounds on their rescue, pages of our newspapers, hours of our news time on TV, and yet the sinking of a boat with 700 refugees in it barely gets a line and barely gets a boat for rescue. All those people, the 705, are children of God. And yet we live in a world where some of them don't count. And that is writ large, not just on people who have drowned. In the past 10 years, 25,000 people have drowned in the Mediterranean, seeking to escape from poverty, war, famine, disease, and destruction, with barely a headline. There is a shalt not in there. You shalt not devalue a life given of God. So we pray, Lord, for all who grieve, for all who mourn loss at this present time, whether that loss was long ago or present, we carry that scar which may be healed or still may be open. But we know that we find comfort in their peace, in eternity, and the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ, who walk with us, weep with us, and heal us. We pray for those who are refugees, who are struggling. We pray for their treatment in this country, for the news that 100 and some more unaccompanied children are going to be sent to hotels in Brighton, from which in the past 2 years 176 children have disappeared, kidnapped and trafficked by gangs in our own country. We pray for those who seek to bring relief to those who suffer, for those who inspire generosity and compassion in our hearts. We ask you will guide the nations of the world toward the day when we will all rejoice in the kingdom of justice and peace. We pray for those we know who are unwell, those whose illness is long-term and demands much patience and grace to bear, and those who are awaiting operations in a difficult time, tests or results from tests, for those who have had them and may be found there is nothing more to be done. We pray for those who carry a daily infirmity or disability, for their grace and their patience. We remember those who feel lonely and depressed, those who suffer from mental health issues, not physical, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia. We pray for those professionals who care for body and mind, but especially we pray for those who care for their loved ones, often not included in figures, often struggling on their own, out of that love they find in Christ. Lord, give us right words. Help us to know what simple things we can say, what acts of kindness may help someone else. We are not people who can do the grand gestures and deeds that change the grand things of the world. But the things we can say we can do may change the world for one person. Comfort those who struggle in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope. In all, we must remember Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We remember for God, therefore, those who are light to us, those who lit the flame of faith in us, perhaps at a young age, and guarded it and guided it, those who were with us as we grew and as we have developed. Some may be ordained, the majority are lay, but all are children of God. And we give thanks that you have used us, that our example may be a light to others. So accept these prayers that are spoken, the ones that have been set off in our own minds, the yearnings in our own hearts, and those things that rumble in our soul and have yet even to gain traction. Take them by the power of your Spirit to your throne, and then send forth your Spirit that we may go and be the answer to the prayers of others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our offering will now be taken. Let us pray. Father, accept what we offer today, but also what we offer each and every day in the service of your kingdom. Ourselves, our resources, our times, our talents. and our love for all in Jesus' name. And so we say the words of the grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Over the years of my faith journey, I learned a number of things. I was sort of in church, then away from it for a while, and then sort of drifted back in and was into churchianity. And then meeting Jill, my faith became a real and personal faith with Jesus Christ. And I learned things there. I learned things there then that I carried into my ministry, like not everybody knows what you're saying. When we went to Jill's house group, they're loving people, they're really welcoming, but they did two things that frightened me. One was they used to pray round in a circle, which was lovely, but I'd never done that before, and it was like an express train coming round to hit me. But as it got to me, and the person next to me said amen, a friend of ours, Tim, on the other side, just immediately started praying, so it just passed across. Those things, brothers and sisters, are the things of grace and love that stay with you. And the other thing was they used to say the grace at the end of the meeting. I had no idea what it was. So I just used to go, amen. Three or four meetings, I did get together with it. So it is just to say sometimes, when there is a stranger in our midst, we need to be supportive and encouraging. I always believe that when you walk into a Methodist church, there's always a heater above the door. And the reason it was there wasn't to heat you. As it hit your head, what it did was it downloaded all the hymns of hymns and psalms so you would know them when you got to your pew. So brothers and sisters, the experiences we have in our faith and in our church are ones we keep with us. And those people who brought us forward as they prayed for in the faith, we owe a great deal to, and I remember my Sunday school teachers and so on. And when I went to ministry in Doncaster, my Sunday school teacher, from when I was 12, I was 34 now, 35, she gave me an envelope for the steward. Said, you give that to them when you get there. I didn't, I opened it. And it was a wonderful testament about somebody else. It didn't look like me. So, brothers, when we come to sing about Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart, the vision for many of us, as I prayed, are those people who, in our youth, in our years of growth, and now in our maturity of faith, still lead us on, are an example to us, and teach us the way of Christ. So we sing, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart, 489.
Glory to the day.
having shared communion together in praise, we, if you can, gather after us for sweet communion with biscuits. Our blessing. Loving God, we thank you this morning for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, encouraging us in our meeting together. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of the Spirit. And we go in the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May that blessing be upon us, those we love, and those we need to love, now and always. Amen.